Arr, Grog.
Hey everyone, it's a Sideshed Podcast with me, Peter Fickling, Kerry Warbis and Matthew Weir. So Kerry, both Matthew and I are massively sleep deprived with broken glasses, but for very different reasons. Any guesses?
So am I.
Oh yes, well, Kerry has had a tough week. Kerry wins on the tough week stakes.
No, I don't know about that, but working hard and a strange night of no sleep last night, but not for great reasons like Matthew.
Me and you,
Peter, we've had the hard no sleeping, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly. So I've just had, you know, traditional, the intervention of a tiny tantrumy toddler and him taking my glasses and throwing them across the room every opportunity he can. Whereas Matthew has been living his best life.
Yeah, it was Festa São João here in Porto, which is like the patron saint of Porto. I think it's been appropriated by the Catholic Church. It was originally a pagan fertility
Matthew,
festival.
Do you mind if I interrupt? The way you're talking about it makes it sound like you were sort of walking around with a Moleskine notebook making kind of like light doodles of frescoes, when in fact you were mashed off your tits till 6 in the morning. So can we...
Yeah, drop all that Catholic shit. What were you doing?
Yeah, of course it was the festival of the dozen lights, and we had a lovely time.
Just jumping around, hitting people on the head with plastic hammers, basically. To very bizarre like street bands, and at one point I kind of primed my hammer and managed to knock my glasses into the air. They fell in a crowd, and I couldn't see them. And then a colleague of mine just went, "There they are!" And I looked, and with comic timing, a conga then arrived and trampled on them in front of them. I was like, oh shit, but I've been meaning to get a new pair anyway. So
they're not even salvageable either, are they? They're just really mashed on the actual lenses as well as the snapped arm.
That said, Kerry, I'm wearing them right now.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Have you Jack Duckworthed them with a plaster?
No, I haven't, unfortunately. Do you know that amazing scene when Jack Duckworth died in Coronation Street and the Deirdre was meant to walk back into the room and just sit there on her own? And the music was meant to play. And the producer at the last minute decided to put his elastoplast fixed glasses on the table and didn't tell her. And she actually like broke down crying when she saw them on the table.
Do you mean Deirdre or do you mean, Vera?
Oh, not Deirdre. Vera, yeah. Sorry. Tell.
Come on, Matthew. Don't come to Kerry with your subpar soap knowledge.
Oh, no. What have I done?
Well, let's give you an ad break to recover, and then we'll come back and talk about the strange goings on with Linda Snell.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So I am finding the whole thing with Linda both reassuring and also a bit weird. So obviously Linda went on that huge journey after her terrible experience, you know, with the hotel burning down. And, you know, we saw this huge change in her. But do you think like me that they're kind of sort of taking it all the way back to, you know, like traditional Linda, overly judgmental, bossy, kind of interfering, quite hectoring?
I think she's just super protective of Grey Gables and her surroundings and does see Ardil as a destroyer of all she's known. That's not all she's known. A huge part of what she's known and loved about her life there.
It was quite a big balance there, wasn't it, as well? Because she was there going, you have destroyed this community. And then Robert went, anyway, I'll just get you that map.
Yeah. Well, he was great this week.
He was.
I always forget, because obviously, like, our love for Jim and various other characters is eternal, but I always forget in between sort of seasons, or whatever the correct term is, or how much I like Robert and the actor.
Yeah, he does sound like he's about 10 a lot of the time, doesn't he? Which is not a criticism. It's like a sort of quite charming naivety somehow to him, or innocence, or that's the same thing. But you know what I mean? His interjections during those really heated bits. And, you know, Linda's a tricky woman to have to handle, but he can do it, can't he? He can bring her back down and will challenge her.
Yeah. And he did really well to just sort of, he doesn't mind calling her out on her lies very publicly, which is quite fun as well. It's like, yeah. You didn't? Yes, you did. I don't remember that.
The complainer about Ardil singing in the shower.
Yeah.
Like, oh, who's that then? I can't say.
There was that bit where she said, you know, we have to be getting on or something. I have a list as long as my arm. You've always got a list as long as your arm.
Yeah, that was quite a good scene, wasn't it?
He was. Yeah, I liked the interaction between them this week. And Ardil, what's happening with him? God, how many... I was on the Cider Shed Twitter in the week, and I had like a fit of the Kerrys when I was just like, who do you work for? Because it was just keep on queuing it up, and then nobody bothers to ask. Even Adam this week was like, oh, well, he's just the agent. He's not the owner, and blah, blah, blah. And it was like, or he said that to Adam. But it's getting ridiculous, isn't it? But
yeah, there were two massive ones, weren't there, where Ardil said, well, you know, I don't have the power over that. It's not in the owner's style to have a kidney-shaped pool or whatever it was.
Mm.
You think someone sitting there must say, or even ask Ardil, do you know who it is? Or have you just been given a brief? Do you know the person's name? You would ask something.
Considering it's so vital for them that Grey Gables remained how it was, and it's so destructive for it to be changed, they don't. Nobody thinks to ask, oh, who's behind the wheel of this project? Nobody. I mean, they're obviously setting it up for some big Scooby-Doo style reveal, aren't they? I mean, everyone wants it to be Hazel. Justin, that just doesn't make sense, that theory, because why would you have someone, you know, wide-eyed as Ardil is wandering around going, oh, a tree, a forest, a field.
Please, Matt.
Yeah, but my
Matt
would be great.
Tiger Towers.
Yeah,
but my fear with this hugely slow build up to it is that by the time it happens, which happens, this happens a lot in The Archers, where we're like, what is it? Who is it? What is it? And then at the end, when it's revealed, it's like, eh. Okay.
I like that noise you just made there, Kev.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's often a damp squib, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the last real oomph storylines for me were the whole Phil slave thing, and when Jim went after his abuser. I thought those were real gratifying ends to those storylines, and I'm kind of feeling we're gonna go down a bit of a disappointing one with this. Yeah,
Jim was a real high point, but sorry, Matthew, carry on.
I started to panic this week. Well, I say panic's not the right word. Possibly, you know, half panic, half become excited at the fact that we might get Ardil and Adam in the same room in a scene, because they were teasing it, weren't they? And then there was that whole thing about rewilding and Adil's nanny being really into soil, and Adam's, what is it, pedology? It's not viticulture, is it? That's grapes. Pedology is soil, isn't it? I think Adam went on a...
Isn't it feet? He studied.
I don't know. I'm trying to, but I was really thinking, I mean, they wheeled in Kirsty to kind of be this vehicle for Ardil becoming more likable. And I thought it would have been much more fun if they'd have brought Adam into that whole conversation with the two of them. I don't know. And that might have just completely sent you into an irreversible coma, Kerry.
Yeah, I quite like the thrill of that notion, though, that they would do that. But Ardil mentioning sort of off the cuff, oh, that reminds me of my nanny, who's a farming soil expert. Let me now talk to you about leaf littering.
Yes.
In depth. And Kirsty, of course, knew about this, that it's originated in India. And he was like, oh, you've heard of it. You could hear him getting all aroused. about the leaf littering.
Actually, Adil, I'm quite into soiling myself.
Well, that kidney-shaped pool will come in handy then.
Won't it? Sorry, it's a bit close to home right now, Kerry. Sorry about that.
Oh yeah, I'll tell all the listeners about my sewage problem later.
Oh, come on, Kerry. Well played. Our end of episode statistics will be through the roof now.
Yeah, what a tease. Yeah. If you think the Archers teases you and then gives you a damp squib, you wait till the end of this.
Talking of arousal, are we thinking that Kirsty is actually turned on by Adil and his surprising soulfulness?
I thought there was a very symbolic bit, wasn't there, where he got tangled in a bramble and she released him. And I thought, ooh, he's in a bramble now, isn't he, with all the villagers and Grey Gables. Will it be Kirsty who releases him from the thicket of deception and disruption?
Ooh. I mean, there was that bit where she said, this path is... Didn't she say something along the lines of, this path is particularly wild that we've gone down? Like she was leading him down this path of temptation.
Mm. She also tested him out. She was like, Adil, how do you feel about wild, unkempt, swampy areas? And he was very keen, so that she knows that he'll be up for it.
What an unlikely pair.
Mm.
Well, I obviously hadn't paid much attention to our Twitter account because I asked the same question that you had floated the day before, Kerry, about what their celebrity acronym name would be, which I suggested Arsty. Someone came back with a really good one that was just Kill with two eyes, which I thought was particularly good.
Yeah, I think mine were Curdle and Arsty. Kill is better.
Can I come out of my quite liking Adil closet now? I don't really understand why everyone hates him. I sort of think that he's a bit clumsy, but I mean, he's in Ambridge. He's really not that bad compared to a lot of other people. And he's quite good. He's quite good entertainment. Like, he's quite a good catalyst for fun things happening. Like, he's got Linda going. It's quite nice to just the possibility of Kirsty having some happiness is enjoyable. Where he goes, fun seems to follow. So I'm quite enjoying his introduction into the village.
The main thing for him that's problematic for me is his delivery of the lines, really. The sort of, I loved the farm. It is one of the reasons I came here. To be in the countryside. It's all very clipped and as if he's reading a storybook to a small child in quite a nice school.
You must have loved the scene with him and Adam then, Kerry. That must have been your absolute dream.
Yeah, Adam was funny this week, wasn't he? I don't know if we're ready to move on to him yet.
But stay in the sand pit.
Oh, good grief. But yeah, you liking Adil, that's an interesting one. Because he's supposedly enemy number one, isn't he? Really? So just as most people didn't like Steph, you liked Steph.
It's his omnipresence, isn't it? He just keeps popping up in... All right, it is good because, like Peter said, we get to have Linda and Robert because he's at the B&B. And then we get to have Kirsty back and they're walking around the rewilding. But it's just the childlike naivety of his character, isn't it? Like, Adam's got a pizza van. That sounds brilliant. It's like, it's a van where you serve pizza, mate. Come on. All right. I mean, there are people who are that blind and optimistic, who just think everything's wonderful. But it just seems really bizarre to me.
Yeah, and that really clashes with him being quite ruthless about people's lives and how he delivers news to them.
Yeah.
As well. It's a bit jarring, the two different elements.
I think what it is Matthew kind of converted me to sort of valuing entertainment over everything else when it comes to the Archers. Because famously, he was the earliest evangelist of Russ. And I think ever since then, I've had a kind of completely different perspective on, look at your power, Matthew. I've listened to the Archers for decades and you've kind of like changed me this much. Mm-hmm. But I think what I've realized is it's much more about the entertainment now than actually investing in them as people.
Mm. It was a bit weird when Robert said, you really ought to hear him, to Kirsty about Ardil singing in the shower. But how's that going to happen?
Just go, let yourself in. I've got a key.
Yeah. We all hope for Kirsty to have someone good, don't we?
I reckon Kirsty needs someone like Steph in her life. Not Steph in general, but very specifically this week. I mean, Steph was genuinely nice, wasn't she, this week, after all of her terrible, terrible behaviour for previous months? And also, it didn't seem entirely self-motivated.
I think she's the woman on the edge of a nervous breakdown, though, isn't she?
Yeah, I'm interested to hear your theory about this. You sort of trailed it before the show, that you think there's a kind of a deeper malaise with Steph.
Well, I think Beth has spotted it, because she said, to Ben... And she is a bit annoying still, but she did flag it as saying, well, you've got to be careful. She's going to crash. She's very vulnerable. Because Steph is all bravado and all front, isn't she? And sort of, this is all great. She almost was going to not do the party, because I don't think she really wants to. She thinks she should. And saying she's going to put it on social media so that Liam's all jealous and stuff like that. I think she's going to just go, I still love him and I wish I hadn't messed it all up and the party will be pointless.
But isn't that exactly what an influencer is? Someone that just projects and pretends that everything's absolutely fantastic when it's not. It's really what she is, isn't it? That's her brand. I wouldn't mind some gold willy confetti though.
I wouldn't mind an influencer coming round and cleaning my kitchen either.
It's now shite talk, Kerry. Is this where you do your big reveal?
Oh, is that too early? I'll leave it till the end.
Oh, another tease. Oh, bloody hell, it's building.
She had to look up how to clean an oven. I presume she watched an influencer on YouTube or on TikTok. Well, what you do is...
sort of influencer inception, this kind of like Russian doll of influencers constantly having to live through each other's videos.
I thought everyone moves house when the oven needs cleaning.
In the old days, yeah. It's not so easy now, is it?
Well, the thing is, I mean, you've got a new oven, haven't you, Kerry? Well, comparatively new.
Yeah,
and I got my new oven a year ago, and it's weird. When you've got a new one, all of a sudden, I feel very protective of it. Want it to be nice and clean in a way that I never have before. But my God, that was dull.
It doesn't last long though, does it?
Do you know, I'm going to leave that in as punishment. I don't often edit for quality, but that's staying in as a kind of punishment, just so the world knows how dull I can be.
Yeah, that was very Middle England, Peter.
We know who it was, Kerry. We know exactly who that was like. Yeah, and I feel ashamed for it. Came rising up inside me. Yeah, don't we all? Don't you hate it when you can't get the turnips in your trousers right? Am I? Hey, everyone. Anyway, moving on. So
you thought Steph was warm and nice?
Just for that episode, I just thought, did she have any ulterior motive? And it didn't seem. She was very honest about why she'd done it. She said that she'd been a bad sister. She apologized for the stuff she'd done wrong. She didn't try and leverage it, as we heard, for any kind of personal benefit. If we're going to talk about it, let's just acknowledge the fact that she was a nice person for once, because she's been bloody awful every other time, hasn't she?
Did you think Beth had a point, though, that she's a bit worried about why would you do such a party thing and it might end in tears?
I mean, now you're asking, I'm not really sure I have an opinion. I mean, the truth is I couldn't give a f*** about what's in a stupid party. But, it is mad, isn't it? It's not a normal thing to do.
Not really.
Yeah, and I take Matthew's point that I guess to build on Matthew's point is being an influencer, your whole life is to some extent performative and opportunities to kind of like make drama that you can then monetize or document. So, but then also seeing as the audience for the Archers is kind of like 45 and up. They would have kind of explained that a bit more, wouldn't they? So we're seeing subtlety to it that I don't think was written. So I think we should just take it at face value that she's just... Look what happens, Kerry. You ask my opinion, you get this nonsense.
Do you think it's 45 and up? I would contest that. Yeah.
Okay. What do you think then?
70 and up.
Did you see any of the chat suggesting that the stripper might be similar to you or I, Peter, on Twitter?
I didn't. I saw an avalanche of tweets last night, and you know when you're too late to the party to really engage in it. So I just got to let it go past in the kind of the poo sticks, because Twitter's like poo sticks, isn't it? Facebook is sort of like stone tablets, and Twitter, it just flows past you. So I just sort of, I thought to myself, this is a good half an hour of my life down the toilet if I get engaged. But I did see there was a flurry of Matthew and Peters coming up on my phone, but I didn't have a chance. But what was it? Are you and I sexy stripper people now?
Yeah, I think like there was a few other names that were thrown into the hat, but we were certainly considered as people that would be worthy strippers at Steph's party. I'm not quite sure.
Wasn't Lee some sort of stripper person? Have I imagined that?
That's Harrison.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Harrison.
They wanted Lee to get his kit off for the life drawing classes at Lower Loxley, but he wouldn't do it, would he? So
yeah,
Joy got it all out instead.
All the steroids have shrunk his junk, and he didn't want to get his kit off.
So maybe it will be Harrison, and Freddie's going to do a playlist of feminist anthems and girl power stuff.
Excellent. So we're going to have Wannabe back to back with Riot Girl.
I'm a single lady. I'm a single lady.
Very, very, very quickly, a lovely little YouTube hole to fall down is researching the Weather Girls. You know, It's Raining Men.
Mm.
They basically, the two of them, the Weather Girls, well, there's three of them, they were backing vocals for any number of like massive hits for years and years and years, amazing session singers. And also they were the people, they were like Ride On Time. One of them was Ride On Time, and then they just stuck a model from Italy on the video. So it's all that stuff. It's like Milli Vanilli before there was Milli Vanilli.
I mean, they've got amazing voices, haven't they?
But, yeah.
I didn't know that.
I don't want to go too deep, but it's, if you want to go down a lovely little musical, wormhole, it's quite a fun one on YouTube.
So are they performing at Steph's party?
I hope so. You know, It's Raining Men's an absolute cracker, isn't it? If you're in the right mood. Yeah.
And Steph would lap it up as well, wouldn't she? All those raining men, probably.
If it's girl power, surely they're going to play the awful Jerry Halliwell version.
Is there a Jerry Halliwell version of It's Raining Men?
Yeah, it was on one of the Bridget Jones movies.
I've never seen Bridget Jones.
No, but that video seems to be on a loop on VH1, which I've mentioned before. My workplace plays in reception. So I'm so good at guess the decade or guess the year now. I've just given up.
When is the party?
Oh, it's surely Sunday, isn't it soon?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, everyone has a party on Sunday, don't they?
Do you think they've timed it on purpose to kind of tie in with the whole Chris and Alice thing? So it's a kind of juxtaposition. You've got Chris and Alice, who have very, very late in the day taken their split seriously and have kind of, you know, trying to be adults. Mm. And then you've kind of got as a kind of ragged counterpoint to the whole Steph situation. But I know I've been very, very vocal in my dislike of Chris recently, but this week it was quite hard to feel the same, the normal, well, for me, levels of hatred.
Mm. I mean, when I was doing the Twitter in the week, I think I put out a poll that is Chris stupid, because he suggested that he was stupid about, you know, I'm an idiot, because he didn't think about doing something with the doorbell, leaving a note on the door. And I put out a poll that said, is Chris an idiot? And the options were yes and yes, but below. And then he started crying in the meeting with Social Sam. And I quote tweeted it saying, I feel a bit bad now, kind of.
There was another thing, wasn't there, about the solicitor? Oh, it was Neil basically saying, why don't you ask your solicitor? And he went, well, God, I'd never thought of asking my solicitor for help about this divorce thing I'm involved in.
I'm in a massively difficult contractual battle with my ex over money. Call a solicitor that I've actually have in my employ.
I didn't say he was clever. That's not what I said.
It was like, almost like when Neil was going, your birthday tea options are Sunday roast, Thai green curry or paella. Now ask your solicitor for advice on which you would prefer, and everything will be fine.
He's going to be bankrupt in a month. Yeah.
Which would you choose out of those three, just quickly?
Thai green curry. It's correct.
Yeah,
option.
I like a Thai green curry. Yeah. Paella is nice. But,
made by Susan, though.
Actually, that's a very good point, because the thing is, there are certain foods that you, like if I'm in a restaurant, I wouldn't order a Thai green curry unless it was in a proper Thai restaurant, because just the disappointment of a bad one is too much to, you know.
You just know Susan's going to do a banging Sunday roast, and exactly. Her paella and Thai green curry are going to be a bit under par.
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know about that. I would actually, I mean, if it was my birthday, I'd say I'd want the Thai chicken green curry, but instead of regular rice, I want paella and have both and go full on fusion.
You greedy bastard in a Yorkshire pudding.
You want a Thai green paella? Yes. That could work quite
in
well.
A massive Yorkshire pudding.
That could work quite well.
Jeez, I'm making that this Sunday.
Yeah, do it.
Do it.
You know Heston Blumenthal's snail porridge? That was a mix-up on a menu. So it was a kind of similar kind of like just accident that it ever happened.
Yeah, well, there you go. Kerry Blumenthal, Thai green curry with paella rice in a Yorkshire.
Kerry Blumenthal.
Is he
on your list of weird crushes, Kerry?
No.
That was a very quick answer.
Listen, I know what I like. And it ain't him.
Well, he used to be a debt collector, which is why I will never, ever buy anything of his or go anywhere near any of his restaurants, because that's, you know, scum work anyway.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yeah, he used to be a debt collector. I mean, and so, yeah, anyway, he's off my Christmas card list, which I'm sure crushes him, but, you know. I was wrong. I said that Chris was a bit more tolerable. By the way, I did frame it by saying within the context of him being an absolute, to use Matthew's work, shite hawk. But, you know, I just thought that, you know, he was trying his best, and it was quite, and I guess as a father of a young kid, maybe my heartstrings were tugged a little bit, and I did feel quite sort of sorry for them both. Mm. Although, bloody hell, when that doctor came in and was like, you do realise that curtains aren't soundproof, don't you? I did. Yeah, you idiot.
Yes, you are being heard. I've rung social service. She sounded about five as well.
Have you ever had that? When we went into the hospital for Cyrus to be born, a doctor had to be stern with us, and she was about 23, and it was quite difficult to have a 23-year-old doctor being stern with you. And
was it because you'd wheeled in your coffee machine from home?
I can bore you with the whole story. We hadn't really done anything wrong, but the flat white she brought me was massively subpar. I did not.
Really kicking up a fuss while Charlotte's in labour.
Yeah. Look, see that foam? It should not be there. But yeah.
Unplugging vital machines to plug the coffee machine.
But it is a rite of passage, though, isn't it? The first time you have a policeman or a doctor or some kind of vague societal authority.
Who's younger than you?
Yeah, young enough to be your kid's kid.
Yeah, prime ministers who are younger than you. That's weird.
That's yet to happen to me, Kerry, I think.
Yeah, well, everyone's younger than I am.
Oh, Lady Kerry Warbis.
I am decrepit.
Where were we going with this whole Chris thing?
I was trying to be vaguely nice about him. You two shut me down immediately. So I guess we have to then talk about Alice.
I did feel bad when he cried. I did really feel that when it was just that moment where he said, you know, he didn't want any of this to happen, and it's happened. And I thought that was really quite moving, you know. And the wonderful thing about all of that is they both came out and said how great the other one was, which was like, finally, can we get past this and move on?
Despite Neil's best efforts.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, you read my mind, Kerry. Like, did you not think Neil was going to completely balls this whole thing up?
I loved that scene where he's like, oh, hello, I hadn't realised you were still here. Of course he bloody realised. He'd literally just got off the phone from Chris, hadn't he, with the doorbell stuff. And then next thing is, oh, hello. Oh, God, that terrible line that he said to the social worker where he said, he's solid as a rock, like the song.
I was wondering if he'd mix up like some 80s soul pop classics. Yeah, he's wonderful, Chris. He's an easy lover. He's Yamo B there. No, hang on. When was the last time Solid as a Rock was mentioned in The Archers, by the way?
Oh, have you got that on your spreadsheet?
I haven't, but and people will destroy me like Adele is destroying Ambridge if I've got this wrong. But I think it was played at Eddie and Clary's.
It was.
Cider Shed Renewal Bash.
Yes, it was. And what a song.
Yeah, it's a banger,
great,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And for every kid in 1985, yes, we did sing Solid as a Cock at a disco.
If only Neil had said that. He's solid as a cock.
Oh, that was a slow burn one. I didn't laugh, and I didn't laugh, and then I didn't laugh, and then finally it got me. It was like, yeah, okay.
It's like all those people that accidentally say Jeremy instead of Jeremy Hunt, isn't it? I mean, it just doesn't happen by mistake.
Yeah, that was a real bumbling, foolish move, though, wasn't it? But on Neil's part, yes, of course, you're trying to be protective. You want to stick up for your son. And Chris was like, God, get away, Dad. This will look like it's all been planned.
I think it still works, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is his birthday.
Oh, yeah. It was his birthday as well, wasn't it?
No, I think, yeah, Peter, yeah, it did help, because I think even Social Sam can see that it wasn't premeditated. Well, even if it was, it wasn't with the worst intentions.
Yeah, it's someone who's been brought up by a man who will sort of storm around so clumsily, it's probably, you know, not entirely. He doesn't know how thick Chris is, or probably actually probably does know. He spent 20 minutes with him.
Do you know what do you know what biscuits Chris had out for Sam?
Better than Alice's.
I think it was custardy creams.
Hey.
Well, there God. You go. Brilliant.
That just came to me.
Oh, nice one. So if you felt sort of sorry for and warmth for Chris, did you feel an equal sorry for thing for Alice when she was bigging up Chris as well?
I've yet to hear it because I screwed up. I thought I'd listened to it, but so I'm looking forward to listening to it later. So what was the, because I logged on today thinking it was going to be the Alice chit chat, and I was all buckled in ready to hear her kind of, because I thought it'd be quite interesting if she hadn't got the kind of unspoken memo, and she was there going and this and that and another thing, and his, you know, his iron oak trees are shit and this, you know, he's
Well, there was the, yeah, I mean, the reason I brought up biscuits was because Sam did say to Chris, nice biscuits, by the way, when he left. But when he arrived at Alice's, she went, I've bought nice biscuits. And he went, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And then he immediately thought, oh, that's not a good sign.
Not
but then,
equitable, is it?
No, but there was that moment where she said, like, you can take any kind of test from me you want to check if I've been drinking or not. I thought that was quite moving. I did think that there was something a little bit, there was a bit of foreshadowing there when she said Chris would die for Martha. And I was like, oh, they're just getting it back together. They're gonna fix their lives. Maybe they won't get back together as a couple. What if he bloody carks it now?
Oh, this is promising.
You.
I'm excited.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. How's he going to go?
Why throw that in? He'd die for her. I thought that was a little bit much.
What, next time she's on a slide, he's going to dive over and save her and clang himself on the head. Why was a one-year-old on a bloody slide on their own? Anyway?
Because she didn't stay in the sandpit, Kerry.
Oh, dear.
Not like that, Xander. It did all seem a bit much to me, like child slips over in playground, you know, I mean.
Next thing you know, social services. I mean, yeah. And also just having a row, would that bring social services to the...
No, I call bullshit on that. I didn't bother speaking to my friends, plural, or friends particular who are social workers. But from previous conversations I've had about Alice, I got the strong impression that it just, that would never even touch their radar. Like if when the doctor called, it'd be like, yeah, two rows. Okay, tell me when, you know, tell me when she's thrown a brick through a window. Oh, okay, yeah, we'll be round.
And obviously loads of witnesses to the accident and all of that. And all the speed of the, right, the accident happened something like Monday. Then the social workers on Tuesday.
David
tries to speak to Chris on Wednesday. By Thursday, it's Alice, and Friday, they've like finished it all, haven't they? Like that just wouldn't happen at all, would it? That social services would, especially on something so minor, would they be all over it like a cheap suit like this and have it all done and dusted within a week?
I don't know. I mean, considering how much frontline workers get challenged and have issues with like difficult people at work. I thought the tone of the doctor was a bit strange when Alice said, "We're not normally like this," or Chris said that, and she went, "Aren't you?" And I was like, "You would not say that as a professional, would you? You wouldn't say that to somebody."
I'm not sure you would even tell them that you're going to call social services, to be honest. I mean, do you have to do that anyway? Some of the writing for these sort of auxiliary characters, I mean, I get it. Some of these scenes have to be quite quick. They can't chew through a whole episode. I mean, that interaction alone could have been like a, you know, a 9 o'clock play on channel, you know, radio, BBC Two from the 1980s or something. It's like, you know, it's quite a big deal. So it's weird that it was all hurried through. I mean, I guess it was the catalyst, wasn't it, that all led up to today when Alice and Chris had their big sort of making up and it was all kind of lovely. And so, by the way, I'm sort of quoting the party line, I guess, rather than how I necessarily feel. But I mean, it would be nice if we've just seen the back of it, because I think Matthew was kind of like inferring that earlier on.
Yeah, it is all a bit exhausting, isn't it? It was funny when the social worker said, do handovers often become difficult between the two of you? And Alice sort of went, not really, but maybe lately. We're trying to work things out financially. And then there's Martha. It was like, it's the money first and then Martha. She was very obsessed about the money side of it, wasn't she?
There was a bit where Chris said something along the lines of, it was never about the money, or I never meant it to get out of hand and stuff. It's like, that's what he said. It's all I ever really wanted or something. And then it was like, no, you very specifically told Alice that you were going to be making the rules about what went on. And then Alice let the pendulum swing all the way to the other end and said some truly kind of like appalling things as well. I guess it's the kind of thing, it's quite natural. You kind of like, you reinvent the past to kind of help put things behind you as a couple or an ex-couple or as friends or whatever. But it just was like, as a listener, it was like, no. We had to sit through this for ages and it's not what you were like. You're an absolute dick and I'm never going to forgive you.
I tell you what, though, they're getting good at the vicarage and hiding in rooms when someone calls round, aren't they? Because Alan was clearly hiding when Chris came round and Usha was stuck talking to him. Like, there was that point where, you know, Chris was just there being a little bit weird. Yeah. The whole time. And there was at the end, Usha said to him, "Well, you remember, Alan's always here." And it was like, "Except for now," which when he's not.
When you really want to see him and you've come round to the house. It was a Sunday, I guess. Like that was again, idiot Chris going to see a vicar on a Sunday at home. He's going to be quite busy, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. The vicar will have Sunday off. I'll go round to see him.
Yeah, I'm regretting my kinder opening to Chris chat. No, there will be no Chris chat jingle.
Yeah, do you think that Chris and Alice will actually fully get back together?
I need a month or two to really even care, but yes, I guess is my feeling, maybe.
And why is Robert Redford on Country File?
My feeling today was just like, please, please, no more village fate style, you know, shenanigans. I know Matthew has provided documentary evidence that this is vaguely true to life,
You've been going down around the village going, do you know somebody famous?
I reckon it'll be Paul McCartney.
Oh.
Paul McCartney, and he announced with almost no notice last night that he was going to play the cheese in, he announced last night, I think, that this evening he's playing the cheese and grain in Froome, and it was first come, first served.
Ah. So do you think in his 80th birthday year he's going to do some funny stuff?
Yeah, I reckon he'll be the summer fate. Because he was en route to Glastonbury, so he's stopping off in Froome to play, which is also where certain Archer's character lives now, or the actor that plays them. But we don't want to get stalkers for them, so I won't say who.
Yeah.
Should we have an advert? And then maybe, Kerry, you can tell us all about the massive buildup of shite in your home.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Whoever's advertising with the podcast will be very grateful for the juxtaposition with this, on our regular feature, Kerry's Shite.
If the ad is for Dynarod.
Brilliant, yeah. Fair play to any algorithm that sniffs that out, pun intended.
I could very much do with Dynarodding right now, because for the last 2 days I've had sort of semi-sewage water emerging from underneath my kitchen floor.
Can I be controversial, Kerry? And in my humble opinion, it's quite binary whether something is sewage or not. There's no kind of graduation to it.
Well, there aren't actually turds emerging from the floor of my kitchen.
You haven't been downstairs in half an hour.
Oh yeah, it's true. Maybe that's the next wave of doom that I am going to experience. But yeah, I thought, oh, that's funny. That's the lino's a bit bumpy here, and it wasn't shit under the lino. But it was making gurgling noises. Pulled back the lino, loads of water. Every time you use the washing machine, water bubbles up from under the floor.
Oh,
if you
Jesus
flush
Christ.
The loo, it bubbles up from under the floor. So this is all. I used a laundrette twice today because of this. 6 bloody pounds a wash.
Was Nick Kamen there?
Do what? No, he's dead, isn't he?
Is he? Oh.
Yeah, he died like last year, didn't he?
Oh, we're keeping up our record of mentioning a dead person every week. Yeah.
And the plumber came round yesterday and he sort of went, did that sucky, teethy thing and went, oh no, this is big. We're going to have to rip off your kitchen cabinets, crash into that wall, lift up the floor. Because it's the basement floor. It's like not floorboards. It's sort of concrete. so that's nice. I've worked 11 out of the last 12 days. I've got sewage coming up into my kitchen. I was at a coach station at 2:30 a.m. last night, so I'm a bit addled.
You were awake enough to talk to me?
I was, yeah. Yeah, we were on different planes, though. I was in a sewage haze and you were...
You were like Mallet's Mallet.
Yeah.
Crashing around a muddy field trying to get your glasses back.
It does tap into your like innate fear of water, though, doesn't it? It's like the movie Titanic when all the water comes gushing down the corridor. When you pull the flush and the water just starts rising and rising, you think, oh, shit.
Yeah, literally. I think what it does is it grounds you into really appreciating when small things like plumbing go really smoothly.
Yes.
So when you lot are just flushing your toilets merrily later, having a shower, not fearing for your life.
Yeah, you're back to your roots. You're going full four Yorkshireman. You know, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you've got it lucky, you two. You're not swimming in shit in your kitchen while you're having your breakfast.
Breakfast? No, I'm too woke for breakfast, like Kirsty.
I believe in breakfast.
So we've been going for a big old chunk of time, and I think this is one of the first episodes in a while that we haven't done a massively clumsy segue. So buckle in for this, guys. Kerry, if people want to talk shite with us, where else can they go?
Please come to Twitter. It's a funny place. Like you said earlier, Peter, poo sticks. Everything is shit. It's at the Cider Shed Pod. Please come and play with us.
Matthew, Facebook and Instagram.
Facebook, we have a Facebook group, which is the Cider Shed Podcast. And we have an Instagram page, which is the same as our Twitter, which is at the Cider Shed Pod. Yeah, find us there, follow us there. Numbers going up on Instagram, liking that a lot.
Yeah, all our numbers are going up. It's absolutely fantastic. And if anyone wants to drop us a line, it's hello@thesidershed.com. Sorry, Kerry.
Sorry, it sounded like you said .com. Sorry. I'll shut up.
No. Look, we have built this castle on childishness and
we excusing built this everyone. Shitty.
That is a banger. And I used to go to a bar where if you played that song, the guy behind the bar would pull the plug on the jukebox and give you all your credits back, give you the money back.
Good grief, that's quite an incentive.
Was it Grace Slick's ex? No one knows who Grace Slick is.
I do. But she's got nothing to do with that song, has she?
Yeah, she is. It's Starship, which was Jefferson's Starship, which was Jefferson's aeroplane, wasn't it?
Oh, I didn't know that's who sang that song.
Yeah, it was like they knocked out about three hits or something, and that was the one that took off. I was trying to think of something that didn't sound like a terrible pun, but yeah.
Jefferson Airplane, didn't they do the White Rabbit thing?
They did. I was in a band many years ago that covered White Rabbit, and honest story, I never heard the original for about 10 years. I only knew our version. And then it got suddenly used in nearly every Netflix series about 5 years ago, I think, including Stranger Things. Now I'm going to have to check if Grace Slick was actually in Starship or if she jumped ship by then. No jumped pun intended.
Oh, I've just remembered as well, we've had some cracking 5-star reviews. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Captain Raymond Holt and Parasols, Rolo 689, Kingswood Bird, Ponden Person. Honestly, they've brought joy to us. Thank you very much. Please join in, those of you who haven't yet written words.
Yeah, and we're always gratefully received, preferably on Apple, because unfortunately that's the way the world stacked up. So we're probably going to continue our normal rambles about mid-80s mega hits offline. And yeah, we'll see you all next week. Thank you very much.
See you next week.
Take care, everyone. Bye. Hang on.